Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirium at the mere mention of my name. This is the show that's all about
knowledge.
I am, of course, the one, the only, the incomparable Mark Unger.
I'll answer the question.
Along with me is the ever darling Diane Brierley.
Why don't you pay attention?
I'm working on it. And, of course, the phenomenally world renowned Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Engineering, as always, though we forgot to mention in the last few more days. Timothy Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and struggling desperately to stay awake during my ramblings in the background. Appreciate him. If you have a question about marriage, relationships, datings, dilemmas that are beyond your comprehension to deal with, you can send them to us at radio@markunger.com. And we will opine upon them. You get to remain totally anonymous, and we get to be totally brutally honest. That's the trade-off. So don't get your feelings hurt. We're just kind of unloading on you with all brutal honesty that we can, which is good for you. Some of you need a good dose of reality check. We'd never be this mean if we were actually talking to you in person. So there you have it.
That's right.
How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
What is today? Friday?
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
It's Friday the 11th. You know it's coming Friday. On Monday. You better get some of these men.
Oh, yeah.
It's you better get some men on the ball
Valentine's
for Monday.
Day.
They have the weekend to go out doing what they need to do to be prepared for Monday.
It's Valentine's Day.
It's all about the big B.
Jeez.
V-Day. Valentine's
V-Day. That's right.
Monday
so,
is.
So do something nice. I actually have the weekend off.
You do.
Isn't that odd?
Well, you have like an early...
You usually don't.
You know, it's just, you spoke, what, Wednesday and Thursday, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's
I got to preach Sunday, but other than that, I'm off.
Do you have the weekend off?
I appreciate the time.
Do you do big things for Valentine's Day?
Yes, I run around naked.
Oh. I should have known
better
than to ask.
Let me see, does this sum up the Valentine's Day? You send your wife to the store, and she picks out whatever she wants, and you say... I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. Or do you actually go and spend
time? No, that's usually
time...
birthdays and Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah. See, we don't do Valentine's Day. We don't do it at our house.
Seriously?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
No, I hate these because days. It's just a day. It's, you know, sometimes we've gone out to eat or something, but it really is no big deal. We don't do anything. I did get him something this year, but I can't tell you what it is because it's well, not Valentine's Day yet.
I run around naked. But then again, that would be the same as any other day.
Oh, please. Okay. Shall we move on?
Yes, please.
Brief little article here in the New York Times.
That, it's my house. I can do whatever I want.
That's
briefs.
Right.
Speaking of briefs.
Just make sure you do it when we're not here. out of the New York Times, bullying at school? The question asks, and the answer is blame the father.
Ooh.
Busy fathers, pay attention. A new study finds that if your kids think you're not spending enough time with them, they're more likely to exhibit bullying behaviors at school. They examined both parents' working hours and children's perception of time spent with their parents, i.e. they asked the kids, do you think that your parents work too much? The findings said that it was children's perception of how much time they spent with their fathers that had the most impact on bullying. Interestingly, mothers' working hours didn't seem to have much of an effect on bullying behaviors. Mm. The findings about fathers and mothers are important because it turns what most of us think is conventional wisdom, that mothers have the most influence on children, on its ear.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Now, who has been saying that for like 100 years?
Yes, that would be you.
That would be the phenomenal me.
Mark Unger.
I've been really, and then, of course, all the feminists listen to the show, all start going,
yes, they do.
Just having a hissy fit. Because, oh, you think I'm just slamming women? We're not slamming women. We're just telling the truth. And by the way, the last study we talked about this was published by MSNBC.com, which is left of left. These people are out there, Wackosville, okay? Even these people said that fathers have twice the influence on the moral behavior of children. Now, this is the esteemed,
New York Times.
Mind, not mine. It's a good piece of toilet paper as far as I'm concerned. But it's the New York Times, again, left of left. Okay? Even the New York Times, all you lefties out there, all you women who have a fit about these truths, they're saying that it's the father. Interestingly, I quote, mother's working hours didn't seem to have much of an effect on bullying behaviors. You know, another way of reading this, now this is going to be a shocker, is that it didn't matter how much time mom spent with
them. Right. It had no
See,
effect.
Think,
whether they
you know,
worked a lot
well, it doesn't
or worked
matter.
A little.
Men, women can have just as much of an impact in our children as men. Doesn't matter if I have the father. He's a pig. He's a bum. Get rid of him. My kids will be fine. All they need is me.
Nope.
Apparently, my dear, the answer to that would be wrong.
They need a dad.
They do.
You
know,
the findings about isn't that something?
Yep.
The findings about fathers and mothers are important because it turns what most of us think is conventional wisdom that mothers have the most influence on children on its ear.
Yep, because it's not the truth.
But, but my goodness, the lefties always
put, they have to moderate it with the last sentence.
Thing on the MSNBC thing. They come up with a little sentence or something because they end it says, what this research shows is that while it's equally important for kids to spend time with both parents, fathers need to make an extra effort. That's not what the study says, you jackaninny.
They had to water
it
down.
The study says that these fathers have the greatest amount of impact on the moral behavior of their children, just like all the other studies that we can ramble off say the same thing. What does this mean? Doesn't mean that women aren't valuable.
Nope.
What we're trying to say is you can't, you're not really designed to do this by yourself.
Nope.
This system of parenting, much to your upset situation, was designed by God from the beginning to include both a mother and a father. You pull the father out of it because everything about our culture says, you know, everybody loves Raymond, stupid guy, guy's a moron, don't really need him. Nice if he can find one, but who cares? It's like, you know, nice to have a toilet, but if you don't need a toilet, you can always go out in the backyard. You know, it's no big deal. Who needs the father? That's what the culture has been saying forever, and men have bought into this.
Yep.
That's what, see, you girls, man, women work against their own interests all the time. It's always the women who shortchange themselves. Because it's the women who say, we don't need men. They're a bunch of, and then who's the most miserable in the situation?
She is.
They're losing.
Absolutely.
The woman. It's always the woman. She's stuck by herself. She's doing all the parenting now. She's unhappy. She's miserable. Her children are misbehaving. They're not. And, oh, it's just my fault. And then you walk around in guilt and misery. How about don't divorce the bum in the first place?
Right.
You say, well, I didn't have a choice. I understand that. Some of the man was so bad that he left or whatever. I get it. But I'm telling you, the vast majority of divorces are not because the father has been horrible. It's just that the wife is unhappy. I'm happy. He golfs too much. He does this too much. He does it. You say you love your children, and I believe you do, but it's inconsistent to say you love your children and then divorce the father.
Yeah.
Because the biggest loser now then is the children.
Well, and
this is just another. Again, this is not focus on the family saying this.
No, this is the New York
Times.
This
is the New York Times, just like MSNBC. Just like the Swiss government study. We're talking Europe here. Godless, secular, psycho-crazy Europe. They had even greater. Their study showed men having a dramatic. They said on the church decisions of whether or not to attend church, mothers, if they do it their whole lives, the chances of the children becoming lifelong churchgoers is 2%.
Wow.
If the father does it, it jumps to like 43%.
Yeah.
That is a factor of what?
Right.
That's not double.
No.
That's not triple.
No.
That's not quadruple. It's off the charts.
Yep.
It's not. It's even more than 100. It's like 200 and some percent.
Yep.
And that, again, not focused. Of all the studies I quote, three of them now, this is the third one, and I picked up, are from secular, left-leaning reporting organizations.
They're not Christians.
The Baptist kick, and they've got a study that shows, you know, a woman have 17% effect, whereas a man have 93%.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's easy to just miss that because they're just Baptist, you know, he's religious, right-wing, blah, blah. Yeah, forget that. We don't need religious right-wing anything.
Right.
the secularists are doing the work for
so
you.
So this it means a couple of things. Number one, you men need to man up. You need to get a pair. You need to engage with your children. Because what men say, when it comes to raising the moral values of my children, they'll leave it up to the mom. Mm-hmm. Let mom do it. Let mom talk to them about God. Let mom pray with them. Let mom take them to church. Let mom talk to them about sex. Mm-hmm. You guys who do that are big, fat, stinking losers. Well, I should, no, you're turds, actually. The children are the losers.
Yeah, the kids really lose out in them.
For crying out loud. And then you women think, well, man, I don't really need men. It's no big. Yeah, I think you do. At least your children do.
Yes, they do.
There you go again. Wow. Amazing. This is amazing. These studies are just amazing. Mm-hmm. In a culture over the last 20, 30 years that basically say men are not important.
They're coming
to
realize they are.
Like the psycho crazy leftist lady who wrote us the other day, men are the greatest threat in the home. Mm-hmm. Oh, men are the, if there's violence, it's always a man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, get a reality check. Mm-hmm. While there are some bad men out there, the studies all show without a man, the father, not a man, because just some plugging another some man and they're going
to
do it.
No, it has to be the father.
Without the father being involved in helping these children find who they are and having a sense of right and wrong, your children will suffer straight up. Not a popular message today, but there you have it.
Okay.
And if you don't like it, I have some advice for you, but I'll withhold that advice.
You'll withhold that. Okay. We'll go now to somebody who's very unhappy with you. Quite unhappy with you. I don't know very is. She's quite unhappy with you.
Does it have anything to do with this subject?
Which subject?
Fathers. What we just talked about.
Oh, fathers. Fathers? No, no, no.
Hello, it has wake nothing. Up, Diane. Focus.
This subject. I
Focus,
thought you were
going to
say this subject and press a button. That's what I was waiting for because you were on your little pad there. No.
No one is supposed to know what I'm pushing back
I'm
here.
I'm sorry, but I'm watching you. Okay, Mark. I am really hoping you'll take this request in the way I intend. Okay. I enjoy following you on Facebook.
Wait.
See, there you are. You are looking for buttons.
I'm looking for something. I can't find anything appropriate. Okay, go ahead.
I enjoy following you on Facebook and have totally appreciated your Laugh Your Way seminars, but I do have one.
She called me a butt.
There's always a big butt.
Yes, there's always, and it is in capital letters. It's a big butt.
See? All right.
I do have one, what I feel is a small request.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I come from a part of the Midwest referred to as the Bible Belt.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, but certainly not all of us in this neck of the woods leave alcohol alone. My reasons are personal. I grew up in a home where we were admonished to leave it alone. Made sense to me, so I never touched the stuff. Uh-huh. My husband, on the other hand, grew up in a home where drinking, having a drink, was central to most social occasions. Yep, he was raised in Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin time!
In heaven, there is no beer.
Yes!
That's why we drink it here.
Everybody dance!
And when we're gone from here,
all our friends will be drinking all our beer.
The problem is, when I met him, he had a huge drinking problem and consequently hadn't had a drink in over 30 years. I'm sure you can understand why
if he hadn't had a drink in 30 years, how can he have a huge drinking problem?
Well, he did when earlier in his life.
Oh, back and when he was like a teenager.
Yeah, so for 30 years, he's had nothing to drink.
There's a shock.
I'm sure you can understand why we have also raised our kids to leave the stuff alone, and thankfully they have.
Uh-huh.
I realize your having a drink is totally your business and your choice, but for the sake of my family,
You say it's my choice, but...
But.
Well, either is it or it isn't.
Okay.
You're basically going to please...
She called me a butt again.
Spare us what you do in your home and let my home be my home.
Yeah.
Is that what she's saying? Okay,
Listen. But for the sake of my children or my family, my kids, and other families like mine, I wish you wouldn't post it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if you can understand my request or not, but I kind of cringed when you posted a picture of a glass of wine and told us how you were enjoying your drinks.
Oh,
I know my kids are...
Wine? Wine? That's radical. That's like that radical. What's his name? Jesus. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes, continue.
I don't know. I know that my kids are friends of yours on Facebook too, and I wouldn't be surprised.
That's because they love me.
If they felt the same way.
Uh-huh.
They now have small children of their own, and I know, given their dad's part, they will raise them the same way that they have been raised.
That's fine.
Guess my request falls in the, quote, if eating meat or having a drink offends one of your weaker brothers, then keep it to yourself, unquote, categories. Thanks for hearing me out, Mark, and please know that this was not written in anger, just a request that I hope you will understand. And she signed it respectfully.
You're a nice lady. You're nice. You're nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. You're wrong, but you're very nice. Okay?
See, there was a butt.
But.
You have some big butts, too.
Few butts myself. No, it's fine. Honestly, you think this is going to that's causing someone to stumble?
Mm-hmm.
To show a picture of a glass of wine, that's going to cause... and everybody always claims this. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got thousands of people listening to this program. Okay? Mm-hmm. I want to know anybody who has ever stumbled because someone showed a picture of a glass of wine. If anyone has ever stumbled from that, let me know. There might be hundreds. I don't know. Yeah. My guess is there's none. Know. That would be my guess is zero.
I mean, I stumble because I'm your son-in-law. Yeah, it just drives me to drinking. Yeah, but
everyone says, oh, if you do it, you'll cause somebody to stumble. Really? Have you ever? You know, here's the thing. I always do this. Someone gets real mad because I drink wine. Mm-hmm. I'll have a beer for heaven, which has less alcohol in it than wine, for heaven's sakes. You know, wine's fine because Jesus said, but not beer. You know, just, oh, really? For crying out loud. Now, you say, well, you do that, you'll cause someone to stumble. Okay. Have you ever seen that happen? What do you mean? Do you know of anyone who has ever seen someone else take a drink and it caused them to become an alcoholic? None of them said. Now, some people will say, yeah, and I'll say, who? Well, I knew of a guy who, you know, then it's twice for mine.
Who knew of a guy?
It's all horse manure. I'm saying you personally. And I have talked to people for years about that. I've yet to find anyone. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Right.
So if you've got a story, let me know. I'd just be interested. It won't change my mind, but all it means is that there's always an exception. But it's almost unheard of. You would think people do this all the time, that someone sees someone drink, and then they run out and they get drunk.
Well, the way that they throw
stumble,
that around.
And I've stumbled, and I've stumbled, and I fall, and I was fine, and I was straight, and it had been 30 years, and now, for example, her husband. Can you imagine her husband, who had a problem 30 years ago?
It's huge, by the way.
Okay, but check it out. Can you imagine him now going out and getting drunk out of his freaking mind?
No.
Because he saw that I was wine tasting with my wife. Mm. I bet you it didn't happen. I'll bet you $1,000 that did not happen. And I'll bet you it hasn't happened to anybody. Now, if it never happens to anybody, why is it these Bible Belt people always say, well, you'll cause someone to stumble? Who have I caused to stumble? Do you know of anyone who has stumbled as a result of someone saying they drink? Even alcoholics. Talk to any alcoholic, hardcore alcoholic who goes to AA or something and ask them, is it okay if I drink in front of you? They all say, absolutely.
Sure.
Even hardcore alcoholics in organizations like AA who know what it means to help people beat this, they all say what they see others do has absolutely no bearing on them at all.
Right.
Yep.
None. Choice. In fact, every person I've ever known in AA, when they find out that someone was about to drink and they say, well, Bob over here is an alcoholic, and then all of a sudden they say, no, I won't have anything, they go out of the way and say, please don't do that.
Everybody I know is the same
it's
way.
Never, guilt the person. You talk to anyone, and I bet you there's a lot of people been through AA who's listening to what I'm talking about. Everyone will tell you, absolutely, it doesn't bother. So this idea is a purely made up piece of horse manure that if you drink, it will cause someone who has a problem with drinking to go off drinking. It does not. Mm-hmm. It never has, and it never will. Now, if I'm going out and I'm causing someone to say, dude, come on, take a drink. No, seriously, come on, but anyway, it won't matter. Now, that's a different ballgame. Now you're causing someone to stumble. If I'm calling up your husband, say, dude, let's go out and have a good time, and he wants to go hang out with Mark Gunger, and I say, dude, listen, you know, here's a glass of wine. I used to have a hot drinking problem. No, man, come on, drink. You need to
that's
drink.
Totally
that's
different.
That's a whole different ballgame. But I'll bet you her husband, if he in fact was a hardcore alcoholic, and if he's been to a program like AA, would say, it doesn't bother me at all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These guys can be around people who drink all that, and it doesn't bother them at all. Right. The idea that drinking causes anyone else to drink because they see them drink is a big, fat, fabricated bunch of horse manure done by overly religious people who can't stand it when other people don't do what they want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are the Pharisees. Now, I'm not saying in a bad way, but you're acting Pharisaical. Dear, you're a nice lady. You didn't do this in anger. I get it. I'm not saying you did. You're a sweet lady. You're nice. Listen, I have wonderful friends who totally disagree with me about this. So what? Get in line. Mm-hmm. You know? But this whole idea is about Phariseeism. They don't want you to do what they cannot do, or they won't allow themselves to do.
Well, and her issue wasn't that. It was that you put it on Facebook.
I will cause them to stumble.
Right.
That's always the lie. And I'm saying it's not true.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It does not cause anyone to stumble. Mm-hmm. If it caused someone to stumble, I promise you, alcoholic and addictive programs would say, please, whatever you do, never drink in front of these people.
And they don't.
Right. None of them say it. Right. Not that I'm aware of. There might be one. And if you find one that does, let us know. At least then I can be corrected.
And they wouldn't blame you anyways. It always goes
saying,
back to the person who made the choice.
It's not based in fact. No one can ever tell you of anyone who's ever had that happen to them. And every alcoholic who's been through AA or any addictive program says, it doesn't matter what you do.
Sure.
It has no bearing on me.
Sure.
Only evangelical Christians who like to extend and stretch and begin to Phariseeize and begin to become legalistic say, no, brother, if you do it, you are now causing someone to stumble.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not true. Now, the Bible says if your whatever causes someone to stumble, mm-hmm. okay, and he's not talking about alcohol in that situation. What he's talking about, eating and drink, like if you, it has to do with people who are struggling over the law.
You know, the meat sacrifice to idols?
Or if you're around some Jewish Christians and you're having bacon and it's mm-hmm. getting them upset and it's causing them to stumble. And even Paul, when you read his whole thing, half of it he's saying it doesn't matter what you eat. Mm-hmm. And then he says, but if it causes you, I mean,
it's totally
a given finally at the end. Look, if you really cause someone to stumble, and seriously, if me having a bacon cheeseburger is going to cause you to fall away from Jesus, mm-hmm. then I need, and that's the kind of offense that they're talking about. When they're saying offend, sweetheart, it's not talking they don't like it.
Right.
You're talking about offending. When Jesus says, woe to those who bring offense, it's talking about people who you actually cause them to fall away from God.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I was going to ask you. You said all this about not having, not drinking so that it'll cause somebody who has a problem with it to go out and drink. But isn't the scripture reference really about falling from your faith, about that kind of stumbling?
Exactly. It's not about you don't like it. Offend. People say, well, yeah. Listen, the Bible says, perfect peace have they which love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. Look it up. Psalm 119. Perfect peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So either you love God's law and nothing offends you, or if you say, Pastor, I've seen that and it offends me, you're saying you don't love God's law. You can't have it both ways, ladies. You can't have it both ways, guys. Either you love God and nothing offends you, or you don't love God and things offend you. One of the two. If you're talking about offending in mm-hmm. terms of getting upset about mm-hmm. stuff. Now, if we're causing you to stumble and fall away from Jesus, now you got an argument. But what I'm saying, this argument is a bogus argument. I, in 56 years, have never heard of, seen, witnessed, mm-hmm. even by second or third generation story, anyone who ever was doing great and then fell into sin and fell away from Jesus because they saw someone else drinking a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it. I've never heard of it, except from evangelical Christians who always say, yeah, it'll mm-hmm. happen, but it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, even Alcoholic Anonymous and other groups never mm-hmm. say to stop doing that in front of these mm-hmm. people. So it's a totally bogus argument. Now, consider that biblically, and I know you're glad you guys have a hard time with this, and you can make whatever decision you want. I don't care. This idea of Christians not drinking alcohol is uniquely, and that's about relationships, mm-hmm. but I'm just going off on this. Cause,
well, it really went off in a firestorm on your Facebook page that weekend.
Oh, they just had a
it was crazy.
Core of hardcore evangelical Bible Belt people who go crazy over this. And I'm telling you, it is uniquely a Christian, it's uniquely an American mm-hmm. Bible Belt phenomenon.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And if you doubt me, I challenge you, dear, or any of you Christians who have a fit about this, go on a missions trip. Go to Europe, see if Christians drink. Yes, mm-hmm. they do. Go to Africa, see if Christians drink. Yes, they do. Yes, go to South America. See if Christians drink. Yes, they do. Go to Southeast Asia. See if Christians mm-hmm. drink. Yeah, they drink everywhere in the world except in Bible Belt America. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't want to do it, then fine. But don't jump on the whole. I mean, how holy are you, for crying out?
Right.
You're the only people in Oklahoma that understand God's word and everybody else is a moron? I mean, a little humility here. And first of all, the Bible doesn't say that. Jesus drank wine. In fact, Jesus said, John the Baptist came not drinking mm-hmm. or eating, and you said that he was insane.
Mm-hmm.
I came drinking and eating. Jesus said they didn't accuse me of drinking and mm-hmm. eating. He says, I came drinking and eating, and you accuse me of being a drunkard mm-hmm. and a glutton. I said, well, no, he was drinking grape juice. Really? Then that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because why would they accuse Jesus of being a drunkard if he drank grape juice?
Exactly.
The fact is, he drank wine.
Yep.
Because he drank wine, they accused him of being a drunkard. The very thing, by the way, most of these evangelical, hyper-crazy people accuse me of.
Mm-hmm.
Drunkenness. You're a drunkard. Really? I'm not a drunkard, okay? I came drinking. Therefore, you're drunk. No, that's the same thing they said about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I had one guy say, no. He says they accuse him of drinking. No. Jesus said, I came drinking. You accuse me of being a drunkard. He turned water into wine. No, it was just grape juice. Really? I mean, how dumb can you be, people? Because Jesus said, check it out. Jesus said, we're blowing through the commercial break here, so who cares? It's my show. Jesus said that they turned the water into wine. And the people said about what he'd done, wow, you saved the best stuff for blast.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Now, when was anyone ever said, boy, this grape juice is a lot better than the other stuff? I mean, it's asinine.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. It's laughable. Jesus was a Jew. He partook mm-hmm. of the Passover.
Right.
Ask any Jew, you evangelical psycho people, ask any Jewish person,
if Passover wine is grape juice or wine, and after they get off the floor for laughing for 10 minutes, they will look at you and say, boy, you're really dumb, because of course it's wine. In fact, all you people who don't believe me, go down to your grocery store right now and you can buy Passover wine.
Yes, you can.
Which tastes like caca, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I think it's quite horrible.
Is it bad? I've never had it.
It's just brutal.
It's like an organic.
It's missing a lot of the actual things.
All I know is it tastes horrible, in my opinion. But it's still wine.
Yep.
Okay?
And you'll still get drunk on it if you drink too much.
The Bible says, do not get drunk with wine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly how much grape juice does one have to drink before they not get drunk with wine? Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes no sense. Now, they got their couple of things in Proverbs where it says to stay away from hard drink because it'll make you goofy in it. Okay. He's given advice. It's the wisdom things. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Stay away. You know, his advice is don't drink beer. Don't drink. You know, but that was his advice to his son as Solomon was speaking. But nowhere in the Bible does it not say do that. Or Jesus was violating the Bible. He wasn't violating the Bible. No. They drank wine. They all drank wine. Paul warned them, don't get drunk. But you can't get drunk if you're drinking grape juice.
No.
The idea that and I know I got a lot of evangelists mad at me right now, just get in line. But the idea that the Bible's reference to wine was, no, it wasn't wine, it was grape juice, is ridiculous. It's laughable. It's absurd. It's not based in any historical fact at all. And it's complete nonsense. Now, if having said all that, you choose still, I don't want to take it, then fine. But don't condemn other people who do. And don't come up with these bogus arguments. Well, brother, you have to stop because it might cause someone to stumble. What are you talking about? There's no basis in that. None whatsoever.
I'm sure it's not the first time you've had it, and it's not going to be the last.
No. Yeah, in the Bible book.
And if you think it makes me evil, then write me off as evil and say, oh my gosh, Mark Garvey's a great man, and he says great things, but I can't listen to him because he drinks wine.
Okay, and he wears Halloween costumes, and he kills honeybees. What other thing? They all come after you for one thing or another.
I don't know, people. I don't know. Everybody's got their thing. And they're never content with them doing it. They have to insist that everybody else does it just like them.
Yeah.
Now, at least this lady was saying, you don't have to. What you do by yourself is fine.
Right.
But don't cause people to stumble by putting it on Facebook. First of all, that's not true. Now, if anyone knows of anyone who went out and got hammered out of their brains because I posted that the redhead and I were tasting wine have you tasted wine? It's like a little
sip. It's a little teeny bit.
Okay. If you know of anyone who went out and just got drunk out of their mind, because I did that, please let me know. If anybody knows anyone who was not an alcoholic for 30 years and then reverted back to an alcoholic because I posted that on Facebook, then let me know. Then you have it. Thousands of people out there. I got 30,000 people on my Facebook. Anyone knows anybody who did that, let me know. And then we got something else to talk about. Until then, seriously, people, let it go.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Now, when a woman is stressed out, she has to talk about it. If she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
She's a pastor's wife and a jail chaplain. The Debbie Chavez Show.
My delight now to re-welcome to our program the author of that best-selling book, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
The Debbie Chavez Show.
Best-selling author, Stormy O'Mardian.
Hi, Debbie.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
And so what I've learned from so many of my guests and what I've learned from my life experience of trial and error is that we have an enemy of our souls, that would be the devil, who loves to lie to us. And we buy the lies. He's the one that whispers in your ear, you know, all guys watch pornography. pornography. It's normal. It'll be okay. It's not hurting anybody. Or maybe the enemy whispers into your ear, you really need to eat that chocolate cake. You really need to have that order of french fries. Just drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's. It'll make you so happy you've had a rough day. It's a big, fat, stinking lie. Let's be smart here and examine the thoughts that we entertain in our minds. Is that thought really from God, or is it from the enemy? And if it's from the enemy, kick it out.
The Debbie Chavez Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
A woman is a woman and a man ain't nothing but a male. A woman is a woman and a man ain't nothing but a male. One good thing about him, he knows how to jive and wheel. Oh,
you gotta jump jiving, then you will. 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 You gotta jump jiving, then you will.
We are whaling on the Mark Gunger Show. Coming out of the break. After a few shots of whiskey here, getting us through the commercial break.
Wailing.
I did not have a few shots of whiskey.
No, you did not.
I'm just freaking people out because I like to freak people out.
Somebody asked me, does Mark really post these things like Halloween costumes and wine on his Facebook on purpose just to upset people? I said,
imagine
no.
That.
You think?
No, I don't think he does it on purpose, but it
yes,
happens anyway.
You yes,
do.
I do.
You do it intentionally, knowing yes. It's going to freak people out.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I was wrong. I guessed wrong.
I'm an agitator.
I rarely guess wrong.
You don't think I know people are going to get upset?
I know that you know they're going to get upset, but you do it intentionally. Okay.
I do it on purpose because I challenge religiosity
yes.
and religious nonsense.
Okay. I was wrong.
And I'll get in it, and I'll challenge it till the day I die. And when I die, then everybody's going to be dead because I'm dead. But God just might raise somebody else to get in your face.
Might be.
And I will have a glass of wine at your funeral.
Yeah. Wine all around at the Gunger's funeral.
That's why I want a big old. I want some taps on the side of my casket. Actually,
there you go. Come up to the spigot.
Oh, yeah, come
put
to spigot.
A kegger in. Okay.
That would be wrong. Just belly on up to his casket. Get your fill.
Mark,
get your fill.
You won't be there, but I'll make sure that I take pictures and post them on Facebook for you.
Yeah, and it's not like I don't understand addictive behavior. I understand addictive behavior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know what it is to be. You know, I used to do drugs and everything. I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you, I don't drink and get toasted.
Mm-mm. Nope.
But again, okay. The argument, you might cause someone to stumble. Yeah, let me know if that happens. Okay. Then we gotta talk.
Well, I'll be watching the inbox
for
any
Oh, I'm sure we'll
emails.
Get some interesting comments here.
I'm
so.
Sure. Okay. Next email. When I was 17 years old and trying to find out who Jesus and God were, I heard from a pastor that we should have such a close relationship with God that we even want to have sex with him.
Oh, good
she
Lord.
She says, what? With all capital letters. Where does this come from? It sounds pretty whacked out to me and creeps me out. I stopped.
Wait.
I'm
who
afraid
that
even went into my ear hole.
So, a pastor told this woman that.
Oh, sweetheart, the answer is real simple. You need a different church.
She said, I stopped going to the church, but have heard similar things from other spiritual Christians.
How old is she now?
Get away from them.
It doesn't say when she was younger.
They probably
sure.
don't drink beer. It's a problem.
They don't drink beer. You should be so close to God that you would even want to have sex with him.
Oh, that's just what a bizarre thing.
That's weird. That's as weird as it gets.
That is just wrong.
Part of the feminization of the Christian church, you know.
What if you're a guy?
It's really creepy. But it's part of the feminization. It's all about feelings and draw me closer to you. Put your arms around me. The message of Christianity is usually always put in the language of a woman
mm-hmm.
who wants to be loved by a man.
Mm-hmm.
Ticks me off. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's just weird.
This is very weird.
Listen to me, folks. You got some pastor who says you ought to be having sex with Jesus. Get away from them.
Run. Run, Forrest, run.
Creep.
I can't even imagine having that conversation
run, Forrest,
as a youth pastor with teenagers.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
That's really weird.
Sexual is what kids are at that age and stage of life. That would be really weird.
Talk about a
the
great...
The cliffs of insanity!
What a great way to win your friends over with them to Christ.
Man.
That's very, very bizarre. I don't know where.
That's just weird.
Okay.
That's weird. Move on.
Next email.
I just got weirded out.
Move on.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Mark, Mrs. Briarly and the metrosexual Scorzes.
Are you serious? Someone we know. Someone we know or knows me or
read
something.
It.
Come on.
I don't know.
I don't take offense to that, but come on.
Okay. Well, we've talked about it enough on the show. You've earned the title, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
That is awesome.
I just really need some dating advice. I met a man on an online dating site a year ago. We talked here and there, like every couple of months, very briefly, for a year, but have recently been talking more and decided to see what could happen. We have never met, so obviously we are not having sex, nor do I plan on it. I'm debating going for a visit as he lives in Florida and I'm in Massachusetts, but I just don't know if this is the right thing to do. Shouldn't the man pursue the woman? He has said that he would come if I could. I'm guessing it's because he does not make a lot of cha-ching, which is money. We have talked about it, and he really wants to see me, but should I wait for him to make it happen? Oh, by the way, I'm a Christian newly for 2 years, and he is a seasoned Christian, and we both are living with Christian values, so no one would be having any sex. I have booked a hotel for myself, and he will not be seeing the room. I know Mark at times has made fun of people online dating, and I'd like to point out I'm not an ugly, desperate chick in the...
Wait a minute.
Prove it.
When have I made fun of online dating?
No, you haven't.
I have not.
No,
that's not fair.
Online dating. No, you haven't. Ugly, desperate chicks you have made fun of.
Yeah, well.
Which makes me evil.
It sure does.
She says that it's just that these dang churches are so filled with women. So that's why she is doing the online dating thing.
That's why men drink sometimes, get their beer gardens.
That's why you gotta drink a beer.
Hey, there was a study that proved that's right. I saw it a couple weeks ago, that the beer goggles is true. They did a study to prove it.
It is true.
They did a study to prove it. I'm just saying.
No, they're idiots.
Anyhow, she's in Florida, or he's in Florida, she's in uh-huh. Massachusetts. He doesn't have the money to come up north to see her, so she's going to go down and see him. What do you think of this scenario?
I don't think it's good.
I don't think so
either. Yeah, you should have him pursue you.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, you want to get to know me? Mm-hmm. Fly your butt up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple.
And it puts her in a situation where they could go out with a group of people, like her friends or family or something. I think it's a really bad idea for her to go, not knowing who he is, alone down there, and who knows what would happen. Just
because he says he's a Christian, mm-hmm. the guy could be an axe murderer, mm-hmm. for heaven's sakes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anybody can say they're
she
a seasoned
needs
Christian.
The safety of people around her if she's going to see him.
A seasoned Christian, his mind might be someone who eats salt and pepper, you know.
But if you want to fly anybody out somewhere, you need help with your wardrobe, give me a call. Fly me out there.
I'll
help.
Ross is such a straight there, baby.
Yeah.
He's a style king. The king of style.
Yeah. All of that meeting up with somebody alone online. It really is. I'll show you right here. You read it.
So listen. You have the guy fly up there. And before he shows up, call Ross. Fly him out there to Boston. So he can go shopping, excuse me. So he can go shopping with you and get you all dolled up and everything. And then you can go out with him. Look, here's the thing. Another thing, too, by the way. Are you good with living in, where is it? Florida?
She's in Massachusetts. He's in Florida.
Okay. So Massachusetts and Florida. Are you good with living in Florida?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my advice, and this is very general advice. If you have any argument on this advice, fine. I'll concede right away because even we haven't done this, which is this. But it's still general advice.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to live in Florida, marry a girl from Florida.
Yeah.
If you want to live in Massachusetts, marry a girl from Massachusetts. If you want to live in L.A., marry a girl from L.A. What we really ought to stop doing is getting a girl from Massachusetts and dragging her down to Florida and marrying her and sticking her there. Do you know why? Because now she will be separated from her support structure, her family and her friends. Men don't get this because a man can move anywhere and make friends in a day and a half.
That's right.
A day and a half. And in 30 minutes.
This idea,
the idea that women are better at relationships than men is pure, unadulterated horse manure.
Right.
Women are not better at relationships. No. They are more emotive and all that.
Yes.
I get that, but they are not better at building quick relationships with anybody.
They're more easily duped.
I'd be curious.
They're
how
easily
old she
duped,
is.
And they have a hard. You know how many women right now are listening to us who live 1,000 miles from their mom and their sisters and everything? They're miserable. They're lonely. Yeah. They're as lonely as they can be.
Mm-hmm.
A man, you can stick him anywhere. He's not going to sit around lonely.
But they would trade it
He's
off.
He's going to find buddies. He'll make friends. I could go anywhere. And in half an hour, find some great guys. We'll be hanging out and going golfing and just having a fabulous time.
Don't you think they would trade that off, though?
Huh?
Don't you think they would trade that off? That, you know, I'll move to Florida. I'll be with him. It'll be wonderful. Next thing you know, 3 months later,
No, but then she's miserable.
Exactly.
And then she's heartbroken and she's suffering. Now, there's a million excuses for this. Even I don't live where, you know, first of all, Greenwood, Wisconsin. Who knows where I want to live in Greenwood? I'd rather take my own life than live in Greenwood, Wisconsin. So we didn't do that. But still, she's in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Right.
But she's different. My wife's
but
really
wasn't
wired
tied
different.
To her family.
No, she's really not.
The way
her
that,
family's kind of dysfunctional and stuff like that. So, but you know my wife.
Yeah,
she's hard to make a friend with.
Yeah. I've known her a long time.
I don't know anyone who is
kind
of
like
I know of one person.
Yeah.
I know one person.
Yeah.
Maybe two. That I'd say, yeah.
Are close.
She would be a close friend. You know, she doesn't do it.
Nope.
Most women don't do it.
Yeah.
So now here's the problem, guys. If you want to ignore my advice, do whatever you want. But here's the problem. If you drag the girl away from her support structure, what she's going to do then is expect you to meet all of her emotional needs.
Yeah.
She will stick a straw, implant it into your brain, and suck your brain dry, which will be a horrible experience for you. Now, if you're okay with that, if you're okay with a girl sticking a straw in your brain and sucking your brain dry, then great.
Right.
But most guys are not okay with that.
If you're not good with that, I'll tell you what. Why don't you keep the girl near her family? You know why now? Because now she's not going to stick a straw in your brain.
Right.
And she's going to spend time with her mom and with her sisters and her girlfriend and her church and her whole world that she loves. And she's not going to be constantly sticking a straw in your brain and trying to get you to mean everything to her. I.e., your life will be easier. I.e., your relationship will be easier. I.e., you will probably live longer and have a happier marriage. So that's my most general advice. So, my dear, unless you're excited about the idea of, you know, I hate Massachusetts, which I wouldn't blame because I hate Massachusetts personally, especially Boston. But that's a whole different thing.
You're not speaking there anytime soon, are you?
No, I'm not.
I've never been invited to Massachusetts.
We've offended Austria this week and now Boston.
Austria and Minnesota and Illinois. So we're running out of places to go very quickly. All right.
It's a big Boston world.
Have you been to Boston?
No, my wife has. She loves it.
I have been there twice and I
really
like it.
Because my daughter, your wife, is one of the most black and white, bug off, don't bother me kind of person.
We are the type of individuals I could move anywhere and be content.
Yeah, because she's like that.
Yes.
But, and especially in Boston, she would like that because everybody in Boston's like that.
Yeah. Right.
It is the meanest city I've ever been in my life. They are the rudest, meanest, nastiest, short-tempered.
They are.
Untrusting. Just trying to drive in Boston. Yeah. They would rather run you over and kill you.
Yeah.
My wife is not all those things you just mentioned, though.
She's not like that, but I'm saying she'd be comfortable in that environment.
Yeah. It's a mean city. Yes. It really is.
It is the meanest. The next meanest, I would think, would probably be Washington, D.C.
New York is right up there, too.
No, New York's got a bad rap.
New York is a bad rap.
It's just a reputation. Yep.
You go downtown New York, people are really nice. They're probably because overwhelmingly it's filled with tourists.
Yep.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what it is. But New York does not, they're not nearly as mean, nearly as nasty, nearly as rude as Boston.
Boston's bad.
Good Lord.
It's very bad.
If you have a city anywhere in the world that's anywhere near as mean as Boston, I would like to know. Anyway, having said all that, if you'd like to get away from Boston and think, oh man, I hate this town and I'd like to go to Florida. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, at least then you have an argument. Even then, he should still pursue you.
Right.
I would say to him, boy, I've always wanted to go to Florida, but why don't you fly up here and meet me?
Mm-hmm.
Win my heart. Win me over. Don't go down there, dear. You're going to come off desperate.
Uh-huh.
All right? And it's just a bad idea.
Hmm.
So anyway, have I beat that horse to death yet?
Yeah, I think you have.
All right.
Okay, this question was on your Facebook, and you gave a real short answer to it, but I thought it was worth giving a longer answer to. I think it was a guy that asked, what makes a lady fall for a bad boy? I, for one, don't consider a bad boy a smart choice for any female. Why is this such a big issue for a good man regarding the problem? Why is it such a big issue for a good man regarding this problem? I think he's wondering what are the good guys going to do? How are they going to get women when they're all going after all of the bad boys?
I don't know that women are going for bad boys. I think women are just looking for any guys. If you're telling me you're having a hard time as a Christian finding a girl, wow. So that's,
he's not saying that he's a Christian, but.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're not a Christian, then so be it.
So what makes a lady
still,
fall for a bad boy?
Especially in churches. Dude, go to a church. You know how many women?
Well, don't go trolling in church.
He's a good guy, he says.
Yeah.
So go to any church in America, all you people. Say, go to the front and ask the pastor if he can ask a question, two questions to the audience. Get up there and say, how many single available men do we have here? And look and see if you get any responses. Maybe you can be in a church big like ours. One service alone, 1,000 people. You might see 3 to 5 hands.
Mm-hmm.
Then say, how many single available women do we have? And it'll look like an old Nazi film where all the hands go up. Sieg Heil! You know, and all these hands will go up. You'll think the Fuhrer is behind you. Okay? So any guy who says he cannot find a woman, I don't know what you're talking about, dude. Now, to answer your first question, why do so many women fall for bad men? One reason. Sex. They're having sex with them.
As soon as they start having sex with him, they lose it. And they get
But up. Why are they going after them in the first place? They're granted, they're dumb enough.
They want a man. The girls?
Do you think that that's why?
Well, why do you think?
That they just want any man?
Yeah, I do. What do you think?
Oh, no. I think that it's way bigger than that. I think that it's just this fantasy fairyland. Especially, you know how many movies
Ginned
have
up by
that
Hollywood.
As a storyline?
No, but that's what I'm saying. They think that it's out there. So
She's going to tame him. She's going to be the one. He's going to, you know, leave all of his wildlife behind because she's so wonderful and special. I think that these chicks buy into that hook, line, and sinker.
Maybe.
And they just think, oh, maybe. It makes me that much more special.
But I promise you, they're having sex.
Oh, then they have sex.
And that's why they don't think clearly.
Yeah. Because these bad boys, I mean, they're out there with all these women, and these chicks think, he could have anybody that he wants, but he picked me. And it's just this weird, like this, what you talk about, women want to be chosen. Well, they want to be chosen, pick of the litter, when this guy could have anybody. And I think that these chicks get off on it. That's just what I think.
I think you're right. That's probably right.
And they don't realize that he's not picking them. He's just picking the next chick that he can have sex with. Exactly. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Something women have to be careful about. I don't know that you can't change it because it is what it is. It's part of the curse.
Oh, I think it is too. I absolutely think
it is part
it
of
is.
The curse.
Explain it.
Because when Adam and Eve fell, God looked at Adam, said, "You're going to work by the sweat of your brow." See, it was always, God never intended anybody to have to work as hard as they work. Mm-hmm. Everything would just go right.
Mm-hmm.
Everything would be perfect. Everything would grow. There wasn't decay.
Right.
Because of sin, God's okay now. Because as a result of that, you're going to have to work your butt off to get ahead. There's quite frankly not anything you can do about that. It's part of the curse. Okay? But I always found it fascinating that the woman's curse was twofold. One is that she would have pain in childbirth.
Sure.
And two, which I always think is hilarious, part of the curse is you will desire him.
Mm-hmm. And boy, sometimes it's a big curse.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yes.
I can imagine Adam going, "Hey, what do you mean? What? Why am I a curse?" But it's part of the curse. Your desire will be for your husband. Your desire will be, a lot of women, their desire, their whole source of fulfillment is constantly directed toward a man. And it's part of the curse. Now, the beautiful thing is Jesus came to break us free from the law of curses and stuff like that. So that's why I tell women, look, your answer isn't a man. Learn to be happy in Christ. But even then, she's going to still feel this desire for a man, which is fine.
But
it's the way God set it up.
Right.
But don't do stupid. Stupid is a bad idea.
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
You do stupid, you're going to find yourself in a very bad situation. We'll take one more break and then be back for the final segment right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this four-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
Band of Brothers Radio.
your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there. Because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have another ace up right. my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
If you're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, if things were bad, now it's all right, because you're listening to me. I love me.
Okay, this one is very strange, because it came in actual regular U.S. mail to the office. No return address, no phone number, no anything to contact this woman back. So I'm hoping that apparently she's going to listen to the show or something.
Someone actually mailed the
they
question.
They mailed the question.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, referred to the show, so she knew it was going to be on the show, but I can't let her know when it is, so hopefully she listens every day. And it's a rather odd kind of a question, but anyway. My husband and I are 52 and 47. Both of us were married before for over 20 years. We married each other just over a year ago. Our honeymoon was devastating because of things that I was totally unaware of, like his porn and masturbation and who knows what else.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
You found that out on your honeymoon night?
Yes, apparently. We have worked through the issues of lovemaking slowly, and we got the help needed and the knowledge given in your DVDs. Okay, so at the beginning of our marriage, all he wanted was oral sex. He couldn't get aroused by normal sex. Finally, we are basically normal now. They've worked through all of that and having normal sex now.
Okay.
Except, this is the issue, that he totally ignores my breasts. The first week of marriage, he hardly touched me anywhere, including my breasts, while I spent hours on his body. He acted like
wait a minute.
Okay.
So you're telling me is on your wedding night, he's not making love to you?
Apparently.
You're
and she's
giving him oral sex.
She's wrapping her lips around him.
Apparently, yep. She's being the porn girl for him. Apparently. That's what I'm reading between
the
lines here.
Dear. Why didn't you just... get dressed and they see you and get an annulment.
So is this a couple that did it right before they were married then, in theory? Because if they didn't have sex before and she didn't know about the porn
apparently, because it all came out on their honeymoon, I'm thinking that they didn't have sex before
they
got married.
You do it right and it goes wrong.
By the way, this is what you get, you guys who are into oral sex and all these girls. Mm-hmm. See, other girls conditioned him to this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's 52, so it's not like he's 19
in a relationship
getting
for 20
married.
Years.
Right, and doing porn for who knows how many years.
No, but I'm
years.
Saying these guys get so conditioned to this, they're yes. not interested in real
they're
sex.
They're not interested, okay.
If there's one thing, I wish we could get a message out to all the people who are getting married. And, you know, even my church, I should talk to our guys and say, listen, you let them know if on their wedding night somebody refuses to have mm-hmm. sex, or you find they're wanting to do something real weird that you're uncomfortable with, you deal with it then. You call us right away.
We
just stop.
Mm-hmm.
We can call an annulment, and this is over with. And it's mm-hmm. not a divorce. You are not obligated to stay with someone until that deal is sealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people I know three personally.
Yeah, I know.
Who on their wedding night had no sex at all.
Yeah.
Well,
and their pastors, and you made a promise. You got to say, seriously, you stupid pastor. Yeah. So you lock these people in.
That
these
sounded really funny.
Stupid pastors?
Really fast, if you say that. Really
stupid pastors? I said stupid bastard. I did not say stupid bastard. I said stupid pastors.
With a P.
Who act like... Never mind, I won't say that. But they encourage people to stay stuck in these relationships where sexually it is all whacked out and crazy.
But it shouldn't mm-hmm. be about the sex, Pastor Mark.
Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the thing of it is, when he's 52 years old, you need to talk to him about the porn stuff and where he's been before. I mean, why wouldn't she have asked that?
Because she's a normal woman who's assuming he's a nice guy who loves her and hasn't been a pig.
I suppose, but you can't even assume that. I'm sorry, I would never assume it.
So anyway, they straightened it out.
So they straightened it out, except this whole thing that
he doesn't want to touch her breast.
Doesn't want to touch her breast. Okay. During the
she asked him? You don't know. You can't talk to her.
No, well, I got as much as I could. I couldn't go back and forth to get more information that's here. The hardest thing was his ignoring my breast. During the honeymoon, I talked to him about his ignoring my breast, and it got worse. He acts like it's a chore and not a blessing to love his wife's breasts. We spent time putting it aside and tried again a few months after we were married, but he still ignored me. He says he loves my breasts, but in fact, he never cares about touching them. It got so bad that I shut down somewhat and never get nude now. I always wear a shirt when we're making love and just old shirts and things like that and she covers herself up.
Uh-huh.
He made me feel like I needed to hide from him. I do not feel accepted. I had wonderful self-confidence in my first marriage until last Saturday, my husband thought I was the one with the problem. Uh-huh. Finally, he realized, so I don't know if they watched your DVDs or what. Finally, he realized that a husband that can live without his wife's breasts for over a year has something wrong.
Uh-huh.
Because something from the Song of Solomon got through to him.
Okay.
A man cannot satisfy himself with his wife's breasts when he has no hunger for them. I haven't been able to handle that he has been interested in other women's breasts, but not mine. So apparently she knows somehow or another. How she knows, I don't know. But he likes other women's breasts, but not hers. So she's asking for help.
You guys need to go get counseling.
Yes, indeed.
You need to get counseling. I would that you would have heard a pastor tell you right up front in part of the counseling thing, listen, if you have any problems sexually on the honeymoon, stop. Stop and call me right away. We'll meet right away. And if there's something, then we'll call it an annulment. Just stop.
She did say that they tried to get some counseling help, but the pastor that they saw didn't seem concerned about the breast issue. They tried another counselor from another organization, and that got totally hopeless. She said it became totally hopeless at the end of the first session. And then there was another Christian counselor
blah, blah, blah. Listen, I can't help you. I can't help you. Yeah. Right. I can't help you. I need to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go talk to someone, talk to your husband. I don't think I've ever met a man who wasn't fascinated by breasts.
Well, and not hers, but
any
other women's.
Any shape or size.
Which would be more of a slap in
the
face to her.
We find them all fascinating. We just like
hers.
Boobs.
Boobs, man.
Boobs. We like boobs.
I mean, I like that girl's and that girl's and that girl's, but I don't like yours. That's
kind of weird.
It is
weird.
That's
bad.
No, it's definitely weird.
I don't know.
So, so obviously he's got issues. So you need to...
Boobs are a side issue to me in this one.
Yeah.
Well, he's got other issues. And
yeah.
Seriously, ladies, you have to ask the question. You have to ask them.
You know how many boobs I saw the other day?
Guess how many boobs I saw the other day.
Yes!
And my answer always applies. The two big ones sitting right in front of you in the room.
No, dear, we can't help you. We can't. There's no way. There's no way I can even begin to speak into this.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to talk to her, talk to him. And we're just hearing her side of the deal.
Yeah, and I couldn't go back and forth to get information.
Look, the only advice I can give to everybody out of this is I think churches have, particularly because we've got so many screwed up people up there, part of the pre-marriage counseling situation, you've got to tell people, listen to me now, as you're getting ready to get married, if there's a problem on the wedding night and talk about potential problems, you stop right away. You call me, we set up a meeting, we'll work this out. And then if nothing else works, get an annulment, man. There's no reason to force people into these miserable situations. I gotta go. See you guys Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.